Is it far, Papa Bear? Those seagulls mean we'll soon be there. There is the house where we will stay. Our shore vacation starts today. And what's really weird about this intro is that I got this book digitally, and I think it's missing the first page. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week we're going... By the Sea. That's as much as I'm going to sing. Stonheim song, By the Sea from Sweeney Todd. We're going By the Sea. Yes, it is the Berenstain Bears, By the Sea from 1998. This is a step into reading. This is a level two step into reading book, so I hope you're getting ready. I hope you have brushed up on your vowels and your consonants, on your phonics and your phonics, on your long E's and short O's, because we are at level two, my friends. I hope you're prepared. I hope you know how to read this much, because, oh boy, I don't have a whole lot to say about this book. It's the Berenstain Bears, By the Sea, and it's about them going to the sea, 1998. What was I doing in 1998? In the summer of 1998, which is when I would be going to the sea, were I a seagoing human... In 1998, I was here. I was in Minneapolis. I had just moved to Minneapolis. I had graduated from college, had moved up to the Twin Cities, and had no intention of going to the sea. That summer, I was just settling in. I had a job at a restaurant. I was trying to make some headway into the theater world. As an actor... And really didn't have any idea where I wanted my life to go. I didn't even know it was possible to go to a beach in the Twin Cities. I did not understand that people actually went to lakes and sat in the sand and soaked up rays until people at work started talking about how they were going to be going to the beach. And I was like, the beach? You can't go to the beach. There's no beach around here. And they're like, yeah, there is, right on the lake. And I was like, that's not a beach. I grew up around the beach. I grew up near Galveston, Texas. I know what the beach is. It is the Gulf of Mexico. It is a body of water so vast you cannot see the other side. And they were like, oh, we have that up north at the Great Lakes. And I was like, it's not the same. Of course, I didn't understand at that time just how big the Great Lakes were. I also did not understand that there were like massive storms and shipwrecks on the Great Lakes. I had no concept of the northern idea, the Midwestern idea of the beach. But this is not about going to the beach. It's about going to the sea. This is the Berenstain Bears, By the Sea. And it's close enough that it's about a day drive. Little more hint into where the geography of the Berenstain Bears lies. Again, not the Berenstain Bears by the beach. The Berenstain Bears by the sea. So we know they are on a sea, the Ocean Sea. One of the seas. We don't know which one. We know it's a sea. It's one of the seven. At least in our world, there might be many seas in Bear World. The continents may have divided in completely different ways at this point. We don't know. We have no clue. Why did bears evolve and primates didn't? We do not know. We don't know. But we do know that there is a sea, and it is by Bear Country, and that is where we're going. Now, if you are a subscriber to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry, you will be getting a bonus episode on this episode where I cover the Berenstain Bears by the sea, the Nelvana episode. So if you're a Patreon patron, you'll be getting that if you donate a dollar or more to the show. If not, you're going to have to make do with this in-depth analysis of a book that tries to teach kids how to read. Now, as I said, right up top, I think I'm missing the first page. People, if you own a copy of The Berenstain Bears by the Sea, please, please, please let me know. Is the first page page two? Because that's what I have. And it's the bears in their red roadster. And Brother Bear is saying, is it far, Papa Bear? And Papa Bear says, those seagulls mean we'll soon be there. And I'm like, I think we're missing some of the book. I think I got this book on digital and it's not complete. I think I got ripped off. I think I don't know how the story begins. I assume it begins some way by them saying, we're going to the sea. We love to go. We love to go and smell the air. Is it far, Papa Bear? Those seagulls mean we'll soon be there. Something like that. I think maybe it's just about how they're going on a drive to the sea. I don't know, but they loaded up that red roadster. It is loaded up with all their stuff. Maybe I'm missing several pages. Maybe I'm missing half the book. I don't know. I'm just at a loss. This is such a weird position to be in, the man who covers Berenstain Bears books. I can't even claim to have read this book because I'm missing the beginning. You know, when the movie Psycho came out, Alfred Hitchcock said that no one will be allowed to be seated after the movie has begun because there's information in the beginning of the movie that plays out in the end, and he didn't want people to not have gotten the full experience of the movie. It's a slow burn, right, up until that scene. And what if this book is the same way? What if I'm missing out on important vital information in the beginning that pays off by the end, but I'll never know? I don't know how By the Sea begins. So we're just going to have to take it on faith that all they did in those few pages was introduce the concept of going by the sea. So they see some seagulls. They're like, hey, we're going to be by the sea pretty soon. That's the name of the book. And this is our house. So they show up. They have apparently rented a beach house, a pretty nice beach house, a little bungalow. It's got a little porch. It's got some steps going up, some nice pink curtains, a little nice roof. It doesn't look like a Berenstain Bears house. It just looks like a house. This is a beach house. It is of human design, it looks like. Pink door, a little place to sit, enjoy. It's right by the beach, right by the dunes. But the bears open the door, and when they do, there's sand everywhere. There is sand inside the house, in little piles all throughout the house. It's empty. The house has apparently been abandoned or not rented out for the season. But it's full of sand. I don't know. Did they not clean it out? Like, did they not clean it out when they left? Like, the last people who left? The owners, did they not, like, go in after the people have left and, like, get it, like, shut it up for the season? Because apparently the doors or the windows have just been open, and this place is just full of sand. So, yeah, each room has its own sand pile. So the Cubs are all gearing up to go out and jump into the waves. Their vacation has started. They're all excited. But Mama's like, no way, dude. No way. Have you seen the piles of sand in this house? Have you seen what's going on around you? Here's a dustpan. Here's a broom. Clean it up room by room. What's wrong with you? And sister's a little ticked off. She's like, ugh. And brother's a little like, ugh. But they clean it up. They sweep up the sand. They're like, all right, let's get out of here. Gonna have some fun on the ocean beach. And Mama's like, no, 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 no. There's other stuff you got to do. You got to bring in your junk from the car. You got to make the beds. You got to clean the closets. You got the walk the rake, the walk the rake. You got walk the what? You've got walks to rake. Walks to rake or rakes to walk. I don't know. You can do both. Hey, guess what? Walk and rake. Both nouns, both verbs. You can do either one. You got walks to rake and rakes to walk. Now, for goodness sakes, go talk the talk. I don't know. I have no idea. So then they finish. They finish all this stuff up. They clean the closets. They made the beds. They rake the walks. It's all done. What is raking the walk? Walks to rake. Oh, I see. So the walk leads from the bungalow down to the beach. And it's like a little path. And I guess it's made of sand. So you got to rake the sand to keep the path like straight. But I guess I don't know what the rest of the ground is made from. Other sand? Is it special sand? I do not understand. I rhymed it. I just accidentally rhymed it. But in any case, I don't understand what they're doing. They're raking the walk. Okay, Google. What does it mean to rake a walk? Google said that it means when you step on a rake while you're walking and it comically hits you in the face. That's not what I was going for. But, oh, look, I accidentally activated Google again. So it's going to start talking to me. If I keep talking, though, it's not going to know to stop. And so this is just going to count as one long Google search. And I see how long. No, oh, wait, how long can I keep it up? Can I keep it up, Google? It's just paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs of me talking. And are you going to give up at some? You gave up. I found this on the web. What did you find on the web? Anyway, they rake the walk. Where were we? They rake the walk. So they're like, finally, we did it. Mama, can we please go? Can we go now? Can we go dip our tootsies in the sea? Is what they say. No, no, no. May we please dip our tootsies in the seas? No one says that. No, okay, people will not, the kids won't call it the sea anyway, but they're not going to call it the seas. It's a desperate rhyme. Mama's like, you relax. Just relax. You have all day. The ocean's not going anywhere. And Papa's like, yeah, we've got to have a snack. Now we got to eat. So the kids are like, fine, we'll eat. So they eat fruit, honey, looks like some bread. And they're like, Mama, our snack is done. Can we please go out to the ocean? And she's like, no, it's too soon after you ate. And they're like, come on. She's like, ah, nah, 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 nah. No mouth. I don't want to hear any mouth from you two. Clean up. So they clean up. Finally, sun's about to go down. The kids are like, can we just please go in the water? I have our stuff. We have our floatable thing. I have my flippity flips. I have my ball. Can we please go in the water? And she's like, and mom is like, yeah, that's why we came here. And I kind of like that. Like, I do kind of like that mom is like, yeah, where are you? It's a little sassy on mom's part. Like, yeah, came to the beach. Of course. Why are you asking? And she's like, oh, but you got to put on some suntan lotion. Okay, let's stop for a second. Suntan lotion on bears. I believe we discussed this in a chapter book, but the only place they have to put the suntan lotion on is on their noses. On their noses, because they are, say it with me, bears covered in fur. They are covered in fur. They are, as far as I know, not susceptible to sunburn in the way we are. I understand why Mama is doing this. It's because the readers are human children. She puts suntan lotion on them. Or I guess I should say sunscreen. It's sunscreen. They're not trying to get a tan on their noses. In any case, at last, can we go into the water? And then Papa's like, wait. And they're like, what? Please, Papa. Please, just what? We just want to swim in the ocean sea. We want to dip our tootsies in the seas, Papa. What? Papa, what? And Papa's like, I just wanted you to wait for me. And they're like, that's great. Come on, cubs, shake a leg. Last one in is a rotten egg. The ocean is fun. The ocean is great. It may even have been worth the wait. And that's the book. That's the whole book. I want to talk just for a little bit about the sea, the ocean sea, going to the beach with you and me. Just me. You're not going to the beach with me ever. Because I don't go to the beach. I don't go to the beach. I think I may have discussed this 5 years ago in one of my earliest books, The Berenstain Bears Vacation. The Bears Vacation, I think, when they went to the ocean sea. They went to the beach. Papa encountered a giant sea monster, something from the depths of the ocean. Shouted at the old gods, if you remember correctly, back in the day when that happened a lot. Man, remember back when, I mean, for new listeners, there used to be a lot of wackety-doo in bear country. I had a lot of theories about the split universes of bear country. Once we hit the chapter books, that kind of went out the window because the chapter books just opened so many doors to so many other... I didn't even have to pontificate on things anymore because the chapter books are just like, here's some weirdness. You want to get weird? Let's get weird. And I didn't have to make things get weird anymore. But in the early book, in The Bear's Vacation, Papa encountered a great old one. It was kind of a retelling of Lovecraft's Dagon, where the man is out at sea and an island rises up beneath him, but it's actually like a living island, and there's a sea monster Dagon from beneath the depths, and it might be Cthulhu, but we don't know. Earlier Lovecraft? Don't really know. In any case, we went through that a lot with the Berenstain Bears. Not so in this book, but I believe in that book I discussed how much I hate going to the ocean. I do not like going to the beach. I don't like being there. I don't like being in the water. I'll warm up to it once I'm in it, but it takes a while and it's hardly worth it. I don't like the risk of skin cancer. I don't like the risk of drowning. I don't like the risk of being stung by a jellyfish. I don't like the risk of something brushing against my leg when I'm in the water. I don't like to think that if you just kept going, you'd be in the middle of nothingness, just nowhere. You're basically in space. The ocean is too big, and people shouldn't go in it. It's too big. It's so big. I don't like going there. I don't like visiting it. I don't like being a visitor. I don't. And so going to the beach is not a big deal for me. I don't like laying out. I don't like being in the heat. I don't like the hot sand. I don't like it at all. This is the most negative I've been in a long time. But that's what it makes me think of. But I grew up in Texas. I grew up in Houston, so nearish to Galveston. Nearish, like an hour and a half away or so. But that's really close in Texas. Grew up near Galveston. We went to the beach. That was a thing. Like, you had the day. It's the summer. Wake up. Get in the car. You leave at like 6 a.m. You get to the beach at like 8. And you stay there all day. And I dealt with it. You know, I suffered it. I was a good sport. I didn't complain. I complained a little bit. I didn't complain much. But yeah, I just never took to it. But we did it these days. So driving to the beach was always kind of a hot affair. And there's this moment in the very beginning of this book where Papa sees the seagulls and he's like, ah, seagulls, we're almost there. And that sparked a remembrance in me. That triggered a memory, which was, yes. So there's a moment when you're driving to the, if you don't live on the beach or in a beach area, but you're close enough that you just drive there, there's a moment where you cross this line of demarcation where suddenly you're in the beach area and the air changes and the sky changes. You see gulls and you start seeing patches of water as you near the shore, as you near like the actual ocean, like the ground gets wetter, especially in Texas. Like it starts getting swampier. You're near the bayou. You're things start getting wet. And I mean, it's Texas. It's south. It's Houston near the Gulf. Everything's wet. But there's this. It's a magical moment. It's that moment where you're like, "What? We're here. We're at the beach." And then you drive through Galveston, and you notice all the cool architecture. So Galveston, like in the late 1800s, Galveston was essentially what New Orleans became. Which is kind of they used to call it like the New York of the South. Galveston was like this huge harbor town. It was like this magnet for the rich. Industry was coming in there, people were investing in Galveston. It was going to be the shining star of the South. There's people built mansions. There were soirees and parties. It was a place of pride, especially for Texas. People loved Galveston. And there was a scientific theory, which was wrong. A scientific theory which said that the coolest thing about living on the Gulf of Mexico, the coolest thing about having a city right on the Gulf, is that unlike other places, the Gulf of Mexico can't have hurricanes. You can't. It's impossible for hurricanes to form within the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know why they thought that. I don't remember. I read a whole book on it once, but I don't remember why. But they thought that hurricanes could not form in the Gulf of Mexico. So they never bothered to do anything about it. They didn't have a warning system. They didn't like listen to any of the meteorologists. And then in 1900, I think it was, a hurricane hit Galveston and killed a lot of people. And by a lot, I mean a ton. And by a ton, I mean, I think over 1,000 people died in the Galveston hurricane, wrecked Galveston, just gutted it. It was because it not only was a horrible tragedy, it was an embarrassment and humiliating for the South. And Galveston never recovered after that. It never recovered. It didn't bounce back. It didn't do what New Orleans did. It didn't have the steam yet to bounce back. People kind of just moved over and were like, all right, well, this is freaky and weird. We're not gonna be around here anymore. Let's go to another city in the Gulf where there can't be another hurricane. I don't know. I guess they weren't that afraid, but they were like, no, Galveston never bounced back. And but if you drive through Galveston to even today, you can see these old houses, these beautiful mansions that the rich built, and they're a little dilapidated now. But there's historic sites down there that you can take a look at if you are of a mind. But yeah, so that's, I don't know why I brought all this up, but that, to me, that was the beach. It was getting to Galveston and then driving through Galveston and having that whole experience. It's sort of just like, like in Roger Rabbit, when Eddie Valiant enters Toontown and the curtains part, and suddenly he's in like this magical, weird world. So yeah, so the Bears experienced that. We never stayed at a beach house, though. I've only ever stayed in a cabin like once. It was a friend's cabin. It wasn't too long ago. We didn't have to sweep it out. But it is weird staying in a house that someone else has lived in. Like, it's not a hotel room. You're not being taken. You're not being pampered. You're in a house. So you've got to bring your groceries and stuff. It's just, it's weird. So the kids, so they have to clean it out and everything. And that's it. So what is this book about? Like, what is the point of the Berenstain Bears by the Sea? I mean, other than the fact that it's just a simple book to teach kids how to read, I guess. I guess the whole thing is that it's about like working and waiting. It's about, if you want to have fun, you got to put in the legwork. When we go on vacation, I always get so cranky leading up to vacation because, like, if we're going out of town, because there's so much to do, there's so much work, and there are times when I'm honestly just like, I don't think vacation is worth this much headache before we leave. I don't think it's worth this much planning, this much stressing out before we leave. And then I get there and it's a blast. And it's a blast because we did all that legwork. And every time we do it, I'm just like, I don't think it's worth it. It's always worth it. And I think that's what mom is getting at. It's like, if you want to have a good vacation, you got to put in the legwork. You got to put in the work. You got to put in the work up front. And then you got to put in the legwork when you get there. You've still got to unload your car. You've got to unpack. You've got to put your clothes away, make your beds, clean up. You've still got to live decently. But then once you do that, then you can just chill out for a while. But in order to chill out for a while, you need to build your way up. There's a whole philosophy that's like, don't believe that way. Like, that's what they want you to believe. Like, you got to work before you can relax. And to a degree, I'm like, yeah, that kind of stinks. Like, that's kind of a lame way of looking at the world. But on the other hand, it's like, it doesn't mean like just work. It means like, you know, you've got to put in some form of like effort to have a good time. Good times don't just fall in your lap. You got to work for them. Is that the lesson of this book, The Berenstain Bears by the Sea? I think so. Is it a good book? I don't know. It's a reader. You can still buy it like in hardback. It's a step into reading book, or not hardback, but like a paperback. You can buy it, a physical copy of this. And if you do, tell me how it begins. Because honestly, I think I'm missing the first few pages. I covered that earlier. Tell me how it begins. Is it any good? Maybe there's a whole surprise at the beginning. Maybe you find out they're just in a simulation. I don't know. But I would love to know. And you know what else I would love? I would love more patrons on Patreon.com. That's right. I have Patreon.com/DeepinBearCountry. Just like I said up top, if you are a Patreon patron for $1 a month, you can get my extra bonus episodes. That's it. That's all I ask. If I get one more patron this month, I'm going to do a special episode for everybody, where I talk about what my life would be like. God, what was it? If I had my own genetically engineered super bears? Something, I don't remember. I'm going to listen to that episode again. That was a really weird thing for me to promise. Oh, well, I will do it. Would you like to know what Phil Gonzalez would do if he had Berenstain Bears around? But they were bears I created, and like as a scientist. And maybe an affront to all mankind, all creation, maybe. What would I do? How would my life be different? Would I be friends with them or not? Would they be just fuzzy around the torso, but also like us, but only more so? Who knows? Who knows? So go to patreon.com/deepinbearcountry and support me. Thank you so much for listening. You can find me at berenstainbearcast.wordpress.com, or you can write to me at berenstainbearcast@gmail.com. Find me on Twitter at bstainbearcast. I'm busy there sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I post really fun things. Who knows? I'm around. Say hi. Just drop by. Say hi. The other day, I had a big boost of listeners from Best of Next Door. Every once in a while, Jen, who was a guest on my show, who runs the Best of Next Door Twitter feed, she posts a funny thing about Deep in Bear Country that I did once upon a time before she even knew who I was. And it always attracts a bunch of people. And sometimes I dip in and say hi, and then people start following my Twitter feed. It's pretty fun. I meet some nice people that way. So yeah, scoot on over there. It's a blast. Everything's a blast. Everything's fun. Life is a hoot, and then we holler. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you all next time deep in Bear Country.